Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we put the spotlight on Fierce Freedom, the organization fighting human trafficking in the Chippewa Valley. Great story in the latest issue of Volume 1 titled Not On My Watch, Woman Founded and Staffed Organization Fights Human Trafficking. We'll hear from Jenny Almquist, the founder of Fierce Freedom, and also Kat Jacoby, the public relations and program coordinator for this fine Chippewa Valley organization. Plus, we'll tell you about their third annual Freedom Boutique coming up in November. It's all next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. I'm Mark Alverson. And welcome. Chippewa Valley This Week is a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. If you go to Fierce Freedom's website at fiercefreedom.org, that's all one word, fiercefreedom.org, you'll be greeted these days by a video that runs a little over 3 minutes featuring the founder, Jenny Almquist, talking about the backstory of how Fierce Freedom came to be.
Hi, my name is Jenny Almquist, and I'm the executive director and co-founder of Fierce Freedom. I had never heard of human trafficking at all. I didn't realize that it was an issue, and I had been in a conference, and they really laid out the whole issue of human trafficking worldwide, and I was appalled, and I had just didn't even know. And I came home, and I realized that I had to do something. I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And so I thought, what is the thing that I can do? And so I started a little company called Fierce Beauty, and we imported scarves, and we sold scarves, and we raised money and gave it to organizations that were actually fighting the fight. As we went along and really did the research and found out that there was a lot of human trafficking going on right here in the United States. And at that time, our kids were little, and it must have been the mama bear in me, I'm not sure, but I really felt like they were coming after my kids, and I knew that I had to do something. So it was at that point in time where we started getting busy with a lot of people who were wanting presentations for us to come in, and we were going into school districts. We had law enforcement calling us, asking to come and present to them and educate them on what domestic human trafficking looked like. And the presentations, we just kept getting more requests for more and more. So we knew that it was time to close the doors on Fierce Beauty and really go 100% with Fierce Freedom. Our goal as an organization is to come in and paint a picture, tell stories, true stories of survivors or people who are trying to get out of the life even right now, and talk about what it actually really looks like in their struggles. Stories such as boyfriends selling their girlfriends to their friends for maybe a pack of cigarettes or the use of a car for a weekend. Human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal enterprise on the face of the planet. And so we know that it's going to take everybody to do something to really make a dent in this. And we truly believe that in our generation that we could even see this come to an end. So there's so many things that you can do. We have a lot of tools and resources on our website and on Facebook, and we just want you to resource those and use those in any way that you can. Just educate yourself, it's really important. Another thing that you could do that we see as very important is just be involved in your community. And what I mean by that is you could teach Sunday school, you could volunteer at the library, you can go into the classroom and just be a positive force in young people's lives.
Jenny Almquist, the founder and executive director of Fierce Freedom. The audio from the video that will greet you as you check out their fine website, newly revamped, I believe, at fiercefreedom.org. That's fiercefreedom.org. I sat down this week with Kat Jacoby, public relations and program coordinator for Fierce Freedom. I asked her about what's been going on in a broader sense with Fierce Freedom.
There's been so much that God has really been doing at Fierce Freedom. A lot of what we've seen is we've been able to work with a lot more victims than we ever really thought possible before, which has been super exciting. And it's been a huge, you know, learning curve. Something that's been really great is having our survivor advocate on board. And she's just been really working alongside these women and seeing whatever they need. And so, as I said, it's a learning curve. And so we're realizing that we need more support with that. But going along with that too, we've had a lot of desire to be featured on, like, we had a Volume 1 article just come out recently. We were featured on WEAU. So we've had a lot of really great outreach from the media who has been more interested in this topic. we've also been able to speak on legislation that had passed that wanted to kind of crack down on Wisconsin highways and finding human trafficking there. So we were able to kind of speak to that as well. So we're seeing this issue is really becoming more talked about. People are becoming more interested in talking about it, and sort of it's less having to convince them that it's happening. And we've just been able to do some really great speaking engagements and have some really great conversations with people and just building, you know, building rapport, building that support and building that understanding and just informing people, I guess.
We're looking at an event coming up in November now, and Fierce Freedom continues to need financial support, right?
Right. Yeah. We have something coming up in November called our Freedom Boutique. And that is our third annual Freedom Boutique. And so basically right now we're kind of asking the public for donations for it. We're asking for gently used upscale items, women's clothing, men's clothing, accessories, shoes, stuff like that. We've already had several people donate. So that's been really encouraging as well. Or even if you would want to work the event, you know, hanging up clothes or anything like that. I know in the past we've had some really great volunteers as well. And I know that we even had some designer clothing the first year, and we have some designer stuff this year. So there is going to be some really amazing merchandise available. And then also at the same time, we'll be doing a donation drive, which will be specifically geared towards providing victims with toiletries, basic necessities, just fresh blankets and clothing and things that they need, because a lot of times they don't even have a toothbrush, and it just makes all the difference to them.
So how many different victims are you helping with these various items? And we can list them in a moment here, but how many and where are you meeting their needs? Here in Eau Claire, Menominee?
Yeah, so we basically will get connected with victims through education, because people know who we are. They will either connect us with, you know, we had somebody who it was their cousin and they reached out to us. Or the victims themselves will reach out to us. So right now, I believe we're working with about 18 or 19 victims. Our survivor advocate could answer that better than I could. But so that is in different capacities. So either we will be, so we have this program called Elevate Academy. And so that actually is written by a survivor, and it sort of helps these women understand their experience. It's a 16-week program. Or we will offer them legal aid, medical advice. We'll try to get them in touch with people that can really help them and offer them those services, since we don't specifically offer those services, but we want to connect them with, you know, a bed for the night or just fresh clothing or anything that they really need.
18 different human trafficking victims, all from around Western Wisconsin?
That's correct, yes.
So that would probably be
Eau Claire,
right?
Menominee, Cornell.
So in what ways have they been victimized? I mean, prostitutes or boyfriends, yeah. Or what's in what capacity? And how did you cross their path?
So it's been a range of situations. I think every person's story does vary, but a lot of times what I've seen anyway is it is kind of tied up in drugs. Sometimes it will be. A victim will be kind of used as collateral for drugs or something. And if somebody can't pay, then they will use her as to perform sexual acts. A lot of times that's tied into it. And sometimes we've even had a minor who had to engage in what's called survival sex, just for a bed for the night. She had to kind of sleep with somebody in order to have a safe place to stay. Obviously it wasn't a safe place, but she had actually reached out to us. So we were able to find her somewhere to stay, because part of that too was she had been mentored by one of our volunteers. And so I think that was a huge part of why she even called us. She had that sort of framework of knowledge to know that this was wrong and that she shouldn't be in this situation.
Huh.
So it really does vary, I guess, for each person, but so then they'll reach out to us. A lot of it too, I want to just bring this up, has been in the jail. I mean, we have a contact in the jail who has told, you know, the inmates there about what we do, and kind of explained to them what trafficking is, because a lot of victims will not necessarily self-identify that they've been trafficked. They didn't know what had happened to them, but they're realizing that happened to me. So we actually had a contact in, you know, Chipwood Jail, for example. And so we've had two victims from there kind of reach out to us And we've been able to kind of meet with them, and our survivor advocate has met with them. And it's just a healing, you know, they just have to move towards healing, however that looks for them, you know, because obviously they're in jail, but they still, we even had one that was really cool because she had a background in the church and she had just gone away from it for so long. And I was able to meet with her, and she literally asked me, she said, "I want to know God, but where do I start?" And she felt like so far away from him, but my heart broke for her. And I was actually, it was really cool. I actually had this extra Bible at my house, and I was able to just give it to her, and it was a really special moment. So it's like, I feel like through my work, I am so blessed. Like, I'm so blessed to be able to do this and to see God really working, because he really does want to reach his lost children here. So
wow, it's so appreciated, and just your honesty and taking us into the heart of who Fierce Freedom is and what you're doing. And again, circle on the calendar, November 10th and 11th. You're going to have a Freedom Boutique, and it's at your offices in Altoona. Tell us where that is again.
Right. So our offices are located. It's 2519 North Hillcrest Parkway, suite number 100. So it's on the first floor and to the right.
All right. And so not everybody's going to know about that, but again, they can learn more, I guess, at your website, fiercefreedom.org.
And on our Facebook page. I would say our Facebook page.
Your Facebook page more prominently for Fierce Freedom. And again, you're looking for gently used upscale women's and men's clothing, shoes, and accessories. And those will be available at the boutique, again, 6 weeks before Christmas. That could be convenient, right?
Perfect. Yeah. I think it's a really great, really great opportunity.
But also looking for and soliciting donations for items that you might be able to provide to these 18 different victims right now. And who knows, that number growing. Everything from shampoo and conditioner, face and body wash, gently used hair dryers, toothbrush and toothpaste, towels, fleece blankets.
Yeah, that it really does make a difference. And as you said, like, that number could change. We're getting calls all the time about it. And just even a toothbrush just makes a huge difference. And we even have, like, you could just do it with your, you know, Bible study or your group. Like, we had a class from UW Stout. I gave a presentation and talked about this. And they said, we should just get together and make some blankets. So that's what they're going to do. It's just, it can really be anything that you feel, you know, maybe God is tucking on your heart, and just kind of, it really does make a huge difference to these women. Seriously.
Huh. All right. And again, they're staying. Is there one particular location where you have victims staying, or they're kind of in a variety of different settings?
So unfortunately, right now we don't have anywhere to house them, but we will use, so I will say Bridge to Hope Shelter in Menominee has always taken victims. If they have room, they will always take victims that we will recommend to them. It's really hard, especially when it's a minor, but I know Positive Alternatives is also housing that's in Chippewa. So we really try to keep an updated database of, you know, who is good at understanding what these victims have been through, and sort of having that trauma-informed understanding, because 68% of victims, there was a study done, and 68% of the women that were studied had PTSD. So it's like they go through a lot. And so we really want to make sure that where they're staying will not only have a bed for them, but that we'll have staff that will really understand where they're coming from too.
Huh. All right. If people want to learn more, again, the Fierce Freedom Facebook page.
Yep. That's probably a good place to go.
Regarding November 10th and 11th, to learn about the Freedom Boutique and the donation drive. And if people have items to donate, obviously between now and November 10th and 11th, they should contact you as well.
Yeah, and they can stop by our office during regular working hours, 9 to 4 a.m., you know, 4 a.m., 9 to 4 p.m. That would be really crazy working hours, Monday through Friday. So we should be in the office, and you can just drop off whatever donations you have there.
All right. Kat Jacoby, a public relations and program coordinator with Fierce Freedom. Learn more on their Facebook page about this upcoming event, November 10th and 11th. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark.
Again, hats off to Jenny Almquist, founder and executive director of Fierce Freedom. Learn more about them in this latest issue of Volume 1, a terrific article there. And our thanks as well to Kat Jacoby, public relations and program coordinator with Fierce Freedom, for talking with us in depth about what's going on with this fine organization, pointing it towards the Freedom Boutique, November 10th and 11th at the Fierce Freedom offices in Altoona as well. Learn more at their website, fiercefreedom.org. That's fiercefreedom.org. Chippewa Valley This Week is a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. You'll be able to find the podcast at WWIB.com. Click on Chippewa Valley This Week. I'm Mark Halverson.